Trust you found your place in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, and reading from verse 1 to 4 for continuity, but we'll really focus on verse number 4 tonight. Philippians, chapter 4, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your grace upon our lives. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for the way you demonstrated that when your son gave his life on a rugged cross. We thank you so much for the gospel and that he was taken from a cross and put in a borrowed tomb. But after 3 days, he arose and showed that he had conquered death and the grave. And one day as well, we can have hope in knowing that we will be resurrected as well and live with you for all eternity if we've placed our faith and our trust in you. Thank you once again for the privilege we have to look into your word and to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that you will speak to hearts in a special way. Draw men, women, boys, and girls to you. If there's someone who doesn't know you as he's our personal Lord and Savior, may tonight be the night of their salvation. And may believers be challenged to take a closer walk with you. Thank you once again for who you are, what you're doing in our lives, for meeting needs, for answering prayers, for opening doors. We continue to look for your guidance and for your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. I want to make this statement tonight and begin by saying that confidence is required for consistency. A lack of confidence in our lives as it relates to pursuing a particular objective or goal leads to abandonment of the process or task because the feeling is that I'm not making progress or adequate progress at what I'm doing, or what I'm doing, I may not feel like it is worth it. Such is the negative result of having waning or lacking confidence. People often abandon exercise programs. They abandon learning, playing a new instrument, or learning a difficult subject at school because they have lost confidence in their ability to be successful. It's important and helpful when learning a new skill or attempting a challenging task to have someone who can guide you. It's very helpful as it relates to being able to sustain and maintain your confidence levels because that person who is guiding you along that particular pathway is able to rely on their proven approach. Oftentimes, someone goes to a mentor or someone who would be considered an expert or a guru, so to speak, in a particular area because what you're doing by relying on that individual's experience and their expertise, you are being able to tap into their years of experience to be able to pursue a proven approach in accomplishing that task. And because you know that person, as we say, has been there and done that, that in and of itself instills some confidence in you that, you know what, I'm doing the right things. I'm adapting the right approach in order for me to be successful. It helps maintain and sustain confidence. That mentor as well, or that expert is able to help build confidence as well because they can encourage you themselves when things get tough. when you hit a snag or a bump in the road, so to speak, that person who has gone through those experiences can shed light and can say, you know what, this can work, or you can do it. I've experienced that before, and by doing so, that person helps to sustain and to build your confidence. Confidence motivates you to continue in difficult times. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, we've been studying and looking at this book, preaching through it for several weeks and months now. We recognize that the Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in prison for doing what was right. And yet he was able to be of great encouragement to the brethren because he had confidence in Almighty God. Amen? And in chapter 4 and verse number 1, we looked at this last week. He had just appealed to the brethren, the saints at Philippi, to be steadfast. There was a call to steadfastness. He was saying to them, therefore, my dearly beloved, my and longed for, my joy and my crown, he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. These things that I've imparted to you, they're going to require some determination to keep on going in difficult times. Don't be distracted by the things that are happening around. Don't be distracted by internal problems and external problems. Work out your differences. There was a call to them to be steadfast. But it's not an accident or coincidence that he follows up this call to steadfastness, with the words found in verse number 4, where he says to them, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. The Apostle Paul understood that there was a connection between their steadfastness in the Lord and their confidence in the Savior. Amen? If they were going to stay with this task at hand, they had to put their confidence in the right place. Oftentimes, people abandon the work of God. They abandon the things of God because they have put their confidence in the wrong place. And as a result, they've gotten disappointed. Their hopes have been dashed. Their dreams have been demolished. Why? Because their hope and their expectation was not placed in God, in the one who we can be confident in. And they've lost their confidence. And as a result, they've abandoned the task at hand. They've no longer remained steadfast in the faith. But I want to centralize our thoughts on this verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And I've entitled this segment here, Confidence in the Savior. If we're going to adhere to this call, to this appeal for steadfastness, I will submit to you that we have to maintain our confidence in our Savior. Amen? And these words in verse number 4 exemplify and demonstrate an attitude of confidence in God. That it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, when you're confident about something, it makes you happy. When you're rooting for your team in that game, and you just know my team is the better team. You just know that we got the better players. We got the better coach. We got the better strategy. That team walks out with a certain aura, with a certain demeanor. There's a certain swagger that goes along with confidence. And when we have confidence in the Lord, we're going to be able to say and do like the Apostle Paul was admonishing them to do, to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You know, oftentimes why people don't rejoice in the Lord, they've placed their confidence in the wrong place. And they say, you know what, I can't rejoice in, why? My bank account is not running over. Children are not being obedient to parents. Things are not going the way I would like on my job. People in the church are not treating me the way they ought to. And as a result, I can't rejoice. But this verse admonishes us to do some things that will keep our confidence levels up. Amen? To be able to help me to be steadfast in the task at hand. Confidence in the Savior. There are four things I want to draw to your attention in these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to notice the first thing. There's a response. A response. What is the response that Paul is appealing to these saints to engage in? It's a response of rejoicing. To be happy. We as humans, we are, in large part, feeling-oriented people, aren't we? Our feelings, for the most part, drive our willingness or even our capacity to rejoice. Oftentimes when we admit to ourselves that we're not happy or we don't want to rejoice, we often draw the conclusion that the reason why we are not happy is due to predominantly external factors. What I mean by that is, if we get up one morning and for some reason we're not in the best of moods, we tend to attribute that to something that somebody else has done or not done. Am I right? We would walk around and we would figure, you know what? I'm not in a good mood today, but it's because I woke up and I went to the kitchen and the children left dishes in the sink after I washed them last night, left a clean kitchen, and when I look, dirty dishes in the sink. As a result, I'm not happy. I got to the job, and I was doing everything I was supposed to do, and somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do, and the boss got on my back, and here I go again. I'm not happy. This day is not going well. Isn't that how we are? I wrote a check, and I had money in the account, and the person waited about 6 weeks to clear the check, and somehow I didn't account for it, and the bank charged me $30 or whatever the amount they charged me, and here we go, and my day's just getting worse and worse. Why? Because people and things are just happening against me. As a result, I can't rejoice. We often attribute our feelings and our inability to rejoice to external factors. But David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, says, the Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But listen to what the Bible says. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes we're going to have to take, as it were, the proverbial bull by the horn and tell ourselves, I am going to rejoice. My ability to be happy will not be dictated by all of these external factors. Amen? It's a response, and it's a response that we are going to have to take control over. The Apostle Paul here says, rejoice. We can't always be controlled by what people say, what people do. Else, guess what? They are going to be in control of your life. You're going to be like a puppet on a string. Okay, today is your day to be happy. There you go. Okay, today is your day to be sad. There you go. But the response here is to rejoice. But I'm glad that the verse did not just begin and end with the word rejoice. But there's not only a response, but there is a reason. The Apostle Paul says, and this is so critical, it says, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Your rejoicing, your confidence, your happiness has to be in the right place. Amen? Let me share truth with you, and hopefully this would help us all. It helps me. People will let you down. People will let you down. But there's another flip side to that truth, and it is that you will let people down. It is a two-way street. You know, oftentimes we draw this false conclusion that, listen, if everybody were like me, this world would be awesome. This would be a wonderful place. Listen, you ever hear the statement? But I just can't understand people. I don't understand why people do this. And the conclusion we've drawn to ourselves is that somehow we're not people. And if everybody were like me, listen, this world would be like heaven. That's a fallacy. Because we are in the same category. People will let you down, but you also let people down. It's a reality of the human existence. No matter how good a friend you have, at some point, they will let you down. It doesn't mean you'll make a big deal about it. It doesn't mean you'll break up the friendship. But it just means that there are times in any relationship that person is going to let you down. No matter how enamored you are with marriage, your spouse is going to let you down. Let me come over here so y'all don't think I ain't picking on anybody. Your spouse is going to let you down. Your spouse has let you down, right? Your spouse has let you down, right? My spouse has let me down, and I'm saying it because she's not here. I've let her down. That's the reality of life. Somebody will let you down. You will let people down. Amen? So don't jump off a roof because somebody let you down. But thank God that Jesus never fails. Amen. He never fails. And so you can safely rejoice in the Lord. You say, Pastor, how can I rejoice in the Lord? Why should I rejoice in the Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Lord, Jesus Christ, He loved us when we were so undeserving, amen? We didn't deserve salvation, and yet He came to the cross and suffered and bled and died for you and died for me. I can rejoice in that. And even now, He forgives us time and time and time and time again when we do the same thing over and over and over and over again. How many times we come to the altar and we say, Lord, forgive me for the same thing. And He does it and forgives us time and time again. We ought to rejoice in the Lord for His mercy. And for His grace. And even when we are stubborn, He still draws us to Himself. What a God. He has a plan for our lives to help us to fulfill a destiny that for our good. Given us a Bible, the Word of God, so that we can be guided thereby. His personal love letter to us. Place us in a church where we can hear the Word and be moved and we can grow. And avoid the pitfalls that sin and Satan has out there for us. Rejoice in the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And He has prepared a home in heaven for you and me. I mean, it's amazing that this entire world and this universe, he spoke into existence in 6 days, and over 2,000 years, he's still preparing a home for you and me. What a place that is going to be. We can safely rejoice in the Lord and have confidence in our Savior. There's a response. Response is to rejoice. There's a reason. I got to place my faith and my trust and my confidence in the Lord. It has to be in the right place. But notice, there has to be regularity. He says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. There's some things in life that in order for you to be successful, they require consistency. There's some things in life that if you're going to get good at, it's not going to be accomplished by hit and miss. It's not going to be accomplished by doing it now and again. There's some things that require consistency. For children at school, and I'm working with my son with this. If you're going to learn your multiplication tables, and you're going to know them inside and out, guess what? It's going to be good old-fashioned repetition over and over, over and over and over until you say it immediately after it just clicks. But it's not going to be by just picking it up and then coming back now and again. It'll never be transferred to your permanent memory. It requires some reps, some repetition. If you're going to be good at an instrument and you're going to play scales with some fluency and efficiency, it's going to require some painstaking repetition, day after day, movement after movement, time after time, doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over until you're proficient. Repetition, consistency. If you're going to accomplish the goal of weight loss, it's going to require some consistency even when you're not seeing results. I know they always say, the slim people always know how to lose weight. I'm just giving a principle. Consistency is required. But if we're going to rejoice in the Lord, we're going to have to get into the habit of rejoicing in the Lord always. Not just when I think things are going my way. Not when I think there's money in the bank. Just not when I got a raise. Just not when I got a pat on the shoulder. Not just when my relationships are going well and everything is going fine and things are going in accordance with just how I think they should go. Listen, I got to rejoice in the Lord in good times and in bad times, because I'm not rejoicing in what's happening. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. There's a difference. You lose a loved one, I'm not telling you you're rejoicing because you're losing the loved one, but you're rejoicing because God is still good, and God is still great, and God is for me, and God is merciful and gracious, and he has my back, and he knows what he's doing even when I don't understand. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Confidence in the Savior. Jesus says to his disciples when they're going on that ship and the water is about to cover them, and he calms the sea. He says, why did you doubt? He says, you ought to have had confidence in me. I was in the ship. Rejoice in the Lord. Confidence in the Savior. There's a response. There's a reason. There has to be regularity. But this thing is so critically important to maintaining steadfast in the Christian walk that in this verse, you notice, finally, there had to be reiteration. This thing had to be repeated. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul said, just in case you don't understand the significance and the importance of doing this, I got to say it again. He says, and again I say, rejoice. He says, it's the root, it's the key for your steadfastness in this Christian walk. Reiterated, or you could just put repeated. It has to be repeated, re-emphasized. Re-emphasized. Repeated. Reiterated for significance. Amen? He says, you can't miss this. He says, I know you're feeling-driven people, but you got to put your confidence in the right place, because there's some times, some things are going to happen that like might knock the wind out of your sail. But you got to rejoice in the Lord. Not your situation. Not whether things go well or things don't go well. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, when you rejoice in the Lord, your confidence levels are going to remain high. Because my God is still good. In good times and in bad times. Amen, sister. Confidence in the Lord. Amen. I tell you, when we can maintain our confidence in the Lord, we'll be able to continue on with steadfastness that says, no matter what, I shall not be moved, because my feet are planted where God would have me, and he's proven himself time and time again. And you may look at me and you may wonder, how come I can be going through such a terrible trial, a difficulty, and still have a smile on my face? It's not based on my situation. Don't make a mistake about it. I'm still human. I still have feelings. I still hurt. But understand, my confidence is in the Lord. And when we put our confidence in God, I'm telling you, we give ourselves the opportunity to experience what God has along this journey. And though things get, billows roll and the winds are blowing and seems like I'm about to go under, I'm not. My confidence is in the Savior.